Medical to keep you well.
It's the Dr. Bill Deagle Show, presented by NutraMedical.com. Call live 818-818-6401.
And welcome back to the NutraMedical Report. We have Ken Klein here for the first two segments. Ken, we mentioned a couple of topics that could be kind of important for people to understand. You know, they can kind of fit it into their end-time eschatology. But they need to get a God view rather than a person view, because it's often excused. People get kind of caught in different eschatologies. Right now, I think the United States is entertaining a treaty with Israel to defend it. That seems logical. It simply follows after they declared Tel Aviv to be no longer the U.S. Designated capital of Israel. Now it's Jerusalem, which many previous presidents didn't succeed. We see end time things coming up. Like right now, Rouhani is going to the United Nations, and we'll see what comes of that. My feeling is that the thing that's most concerning to me is that people are expecting a physical temple, which may be built, but certainly isn't what that God or most Jews are sanctioning. Just I call it the evil jellyfish, or evangelical Christians and some Jews, a small minority. And the people that I know that are in the know in Israel and otherwise yourself don't believe a physical temple is something God wants. The temple, since Jesus died on the cross, is actually us. We're the temple of the Most High. And so the invasion of human consciousness, which the cybernetic companies like Mr. Ma, the billionaire in China, and Elon Musk are meeting about this, because the cell phone companies are working hard to hack you into human consciousness. In fact, even Facebook is talking about this, of being able to have bidirectional activity into your brain. Facebook's saying it, other companies, Elon Musk's Neuralink. The abomination of desolation that enters the temple. I'd like you to see if you can get your kind of, I call your Ezekiel take on how do you think this might present to fool people, even so-called the elect, at the time of the end, because it's obviously not a physical temple. It's a temple in our mind, isn't it? Our soul, our spirit.
Well, you've raised a lot of points to the question.
Right.
So let me see if I can try to respond in a way that is cohesive. Jesus said, when he stood on the mountain of Olivet and responded to his disciples who asked him about the end and when he'd return and all these things, he responded by not answering it point blank. He said, "Don't be deceived." When you see he said, "You're asking questions, but here's what he said: Don't be deceived.
Right.
Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am He.'" So, what he's saying, and within the context of their question, was that there'll be people that talk about eschatology. There'll be people that talk about signs. There'll be people that talk about this in my name. So don't be deceived. Here's how it's going down.
Right.
And he said there'll be wars and rumors of wars, famines and all these things. But then he said, but that's not the end. So people that point to the external things that we're seeing are false, because Jesus himself said it. Don't be deceived by the people that come in my name saying these are those days. The end times began with Jesus. It says in Hebrew very clearly. In former times, God spoke through his prophets, but in these last days, he spoke through his son. So to think that the end times are exclusively these times in which we live is to mistake and not understand that the end times started with Jesus. And Jesus is saying there's going to be a lot of end times teachers that are going to deceive many. There'll be much massive deception by these people that come in my name saying these are the signs and these are the days. So he goes on to say, so then when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, standing where it ought not to be, let the reader understand. It's like, I'm going, well, I don't think readers are reading that read that understand at all. It's like, really? I mean, do we really understand what this means? Well, the abomination of desolation that Daniel wrote about was really about the abomination of desolation set up by Antiochus Epiphanes,
Right.
Okay, and he set it up on the bronze altar, which was, right, you know, six feet by six feet square. And he put it on this altar, and that altar was outside of the temple. The temple was composed of two compartments. One was the Holy of Holies, and the other was the holy place. And then outside of that temple environs was where the priests hung out. And where the priests hung out, there was a big bowl called the laver, which was hold about 20,000 gallons of water. And then in front of it was the bronze altar. And that's where they made the animal sacrifice. Well, the abomination of desolation that Daniel spoke of was when Antiochus set up this icon of some sort inside that box called the bronze altar or the brazen altar. That's where it was. It was out in the court. It wasn't inside the temple. So what is Daniel talking about that Jesus is referring to when he says, when you see it? So what is Jesus referring to here? If Daniel's talking about what he saw, what is Jesus talking about that where he said, you'll see this? And so in addition to that, there's so many scholars and mentalized theologians that really don't help us out much, that are many of the people that have said, these are the times and this is the way it's going to come down. And Jesus said, these are those that are deceiving my people. And they're well-meaning people. They just don't understand.
Right.
So what do we have here? And so let me try to explain this with a picture. I don't know, when I was a kid and went to high school, one of the big things in high school, and I'm 70, almost 74 now, so it's over 50 years ago.
Yeah.
People would bring these Veloxes of paintings that the Disney studios would make, and one of these Veloxes, which is a transparent piece of plastic, almost like a sheet of paper, but plastic and transparent, they'd start painting, let's say, Mickey Mouse. And Mickey Mouse, they painted like his ears. And then they did another Velox overlayment over that Velox, and they'd have his clothing. And then over that, they'd have his feet. So when you had all these Veloxes over on top of each other, you'd have a complete picture of Mickey Mouse. They do that also with anatomy. I mean, if you look in an encyclopedia, they'd start off with, you know, the skeletal system, and then they'd do an overlayment, and you'd see, you know, the internal organs, and over that, you'd see the body. And so they have these overlayments that when you finished with each overlayment, you'd end up with a clear picture of what they're saying about the human body. That's
right.
Kind of how I see the abomination of desolation. It's not really a singular event. It's kind of like a condition that persists over the ages. That's a transcendental idea of the abomination of desolation, because the abomination of desolation that Jesus was talking about as an event was different than the event of the Antiochus abomination of desolation. So we're seeing these continuous, and there was also an abomination of desolation in the 50 BC around, you know, when there was another destruction of the temple. So we see these continuing abominations and desolations happening continuously in Jerusalem.
Right.
You know, it's continuous.
Well, there's two terms, abomination and desolation. What do those in Hebrew mean, and how do you interpret that, the abomination and a desolation? Desolation means you've lost territory or land. An abomination means it's an abomination against the proper sacrificial methods prescribed by God, right?
Yeah, well, it's an abomination because it's abhorrent to God, because it's not what his intention was. And,
right.
And it's a desolation because the proper sacrifices can't be made. So it's done. So in 70 AD, which was when the temple was destroyed, there's no longer any opportunity for the Aaronic priesthood to go into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement and make atonement for the sins of the people. There's no more temple. So it's been destroyed. It's been burned down. And this is why the Jews want to rebuild it. Well, we have to have our temple back. Because when I was in Jerusalem last time, I got into a big argument with this Jew from New York, you know, had a beard. He looked like Moses, you know. And I said, you guys are fake Jews, and he knew I was a Jewish guy. And I said, you're fake Jews because you can't even keep the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, properly. You don't have a temple, so how can the Aaronic priesthood function when they can't even go into the Holy of Holies and make atonement for the sins of the people? Oh, we don't have to do that anymore, he says. I said, oh, really? Well, why does it say in your law, which you say you keep, that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin? So how are you guys atoning for your sins without the priesthood? Well, there can't be a priesthood because the temple's gone. You're going to have a temple to keep Yom Kippur. And if you don't have that, you're still in your sins. There's no repudiation of your sins. There's no atonement for your sins. That's what the abomination of desolation did in 70. Now, we go back. We come now 2,000 years into the future, and you can make that argument at the Wailing Wall. They probably pound you into the ground, but you know what? That's fine. But you get in some real good fisticuffs with the Jews at the Wailing Wall. This is not only not the temple area. You're praying to stones, and God will never hear you because these prayers won't be heard in heaven. So you're wasting your breath. He's not going to listen to this. Yeah, that pounds you into the ground for that. So now President Trump has made it clear that the Jerusalem has to be the temple of the Jews. And the capital city of the Jews, no longer Tel Aviv. You mentioned it earlier in your discussion. And so you go, that's interesting, because there's something in the Old Testament that says that Antiochus would make his royal pavilion between the two seas, meaning the Sea of the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea, in the beautiful land. Okay, so now we all of a sudden we have maybe a repeat of this whole system being set up to where now there's a royal pavilion, i.e., the United States consulate there, embassy, between the two seas in Jerusalem. Going, this is really interesting. So is this possibly a repeat of what Antiochus did? Because everything seems to repeat over and over in cycles. So you go, well, this can be interesting to watch, because this doesn't necessarily indict President Trump as the Antichrist, but it could be a setup. It could very well be a setup, especially if the Jews force their temple to be built on the Temple Mount, right, which isn't where the temple was built in the first place. Right. But if they build it up there, think of what an abomination of desolation that would be, because it's totally repudiating Daniel 9:24, where Jesus is clearly indicated as the Messiah who would come, and he'll fulfill all of these things and bring an end to sin.
Yeah, in other words, the building of the temple can be what, however it happens, as an abomination that desolates, because it prevents Jews from accepting Jesus as Messiah and his pathway to have a heavenly relationship with him.
Yeah, that's true. But more importantly, it's repudiating the finished work that Jesus
exactly
fulfilled when he died.
So in other words, I'm in agreement with you. This is what I was thinking. That's why I want to hear your response without me leading you. And we're on the same page of music, that I believe that the abomination of desolations is the building of the temple. And if that happens, it's not what God wants. It's actually going to lead people into a form of ultimate apostasy, to accept that the Jews can start a blood sacrifice again, and it's sufficient to pay for the price of sin. And when Yeshua paid for the price, and the work was complete, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, if you see the abomination of desolation as a continuation, not just a singular event, then it makes sense, like in the overlayment illustration he gave. Well, this will be the latest of reality. And God sees, remember, from Alpha to the Alpha and the Omega. He sees it all as one thing. He doesn't differentiate like we do as humans, because we see linear and we want to peg everything to an event. When he said this is a condition that will persist for the next couple thousand years, and over and over again will repeat. So the latest repetition, I think, will be the building of the temple, which will be an abomination because it repudiates the finished work of Jesus. And they'll build it. I think they'll build it, even though in my film, Jerusalem, Lost Temple of the Jews, I placed the temple at the Crescent Ridge, south of the walls of the city of Old Jerusalem. They'll try to build it there on what they call the Temple Mount, which wasn't the Temple Mount. It's basically the Antonia Fortress.
Exactly. We'll be back in just a moment with more amazing information from Ken Klein. Stay tuned. He'll be here one more segment.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritional replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Red Deer Velvet DR is an amazing new product with a patent to preserve 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones, same as fetal life, where you don't age at all. The state of fetal life allows the 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones produced by the placenta to be supportive of the regeneration of tissues and organs, with maximum apoptosis changing the tissue and organ structure of a fetus. That's why if fetal surgery is performed, there is no scar. Taking 2 to 3 capsules twice a day with oncomycin, MycoD2, provides an amazing support for regeneration of any tissue and organ in the body, and even advanced stem cell therapy support treatment. Do get NutraMedical's Red Deer Velvet DR from Dr. Bill Deagle at NutraMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well and stay young with NutraMedical. Lumen Photon Therapy, infrared light, far and near infrared, is extremely important for pain control, stimulation of nitric oxide, improved perfusion, and stem cell activation and reduction of cytokines. Dr. Bill uses it for pain control, for regeneration techniques, for organ regeneration, and for stimulation of your stem cell activity. This amazing Lumen Photon Therapy this year will probably have an additional device with frequency therapy during the on phase of the lights. To obtain a Lumen Photon machine, contact Dr. Bill at NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871. He'll prescribe it with you, providing nutraceuticals to help with your regeneration, healing, and pain control. Nothing like the Lumen Photon Therapy for easy therapy for your eyes, your pain, your joints, regeneration of organs, detoxification of the body. Get a Lumen Photon machine from Dr. Bill Deagle, NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well with NutraMedical. The Sonic Life Machine is one of the most amazing therapies that Dr. Bill provides. It is the best sine wave exercise machine on the planet, doing whole body vibration, opening up the muscle to reduce insulin resistance, improve perfusion, release stem cell therapy throughout the body, and epigenetically stimulate the body to release DNA activated. The epigenetic therapy with the sine wave curve of frequencies given for atomic resonance, but Linus Pauling for minerals and amino acids, stimulates the production of messenger RNA to correct structural protein enzyme deficiency for almost every illness. There's nothing like the sine wave therapy for improving body healing for exercise, but also the epigenetic treatments Dr. Bell can provide can help neutralize frequencies for disease states and illness. Get a Sonic Life machine through Dr. Bill Deagle at NutraMedical.com. Contact us at NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871, or go to the website NutraMedical and give us a contact. Dr. Bill is available to help you get well with NutraMedical.
Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
And we're back with Ken Klein. Ken, I love this analysis because it explains a lot of things that are misunderstood by the Bible and the people who are currently in eschatology in most of the Christian churches in the West. Please continue your analysis.
Well, I think, we all need to accept the reality of our blindness and our short-sightedness and our tendency to listen to doctrines. The book of Jude talks about damnable doctrines, things that are so perverse in that respect that people are destroyed in their inner person. And yet, maybe we don't believe in damnable heresies, but heresies nonetheless that influence the way we process and look at the world that we live in.
Right.
And we need to come to the place where we understand the Bible teaches us that we see very, very scantily in a glass. And in other words, we see ourselves very in a smoky glass, and we see the world in a smoky glass. And we have to start with that. The scripture tells us, if anybody thinks he's wise, let him become a fool so that he can become wise. We need to accept that it's so easy to become prideful. It's so easy to become indoctrinated in the wrong way and never question or look at things in a new light, and we're afraid of that. We're afraid of being heretics. We're afraid of stepping out of the boat like Peter did and walking supernaturally on water. We have to get out of the boat. We have to accept that we're very much bound up by mind circuitries that are conditioned by these many people that come saying, "Well, the Lord said this and the Lord said that," and even what I'm saying, you have to study it through.
You have to study it and then pray on it afterwards, right? But I tend to agree with you, and I have a feeling that even if it's done accidentally, it will set up a lot of people to make wrong eschatological decisions that accept the temple, especially a lot of the Jews, not only in Israel, but outside of Israel, and a lot of Christians that are looking for a temple as a sign, which the Bible prescribes against. And these signs, by the way, will lead people astray as if they were, quote, the elect, as it says in the book of Revelation. So I have a feeling that you're very correct on this, and that the elements that are pushing for a temple, which, are the same elements that pushed for Jerusalem to be set up as the capital of Israel. And many of the Christian elements here in America are I heard one of my contacts, the guy Carl Gallup, said, that they've collected enough money to build 100 temples already from the Christians here in America. So but people need to realize this can be very disturbing, can't it?
Yeah, and just to make a point as an example of how easily we've been led astray, Daniel 9:26 and 9:27, it says in the modern translations, "And he will make a covenant with the many for 7 years." And so people say, "Well, that's a peace covenant, and he will make a covenant with the many." But that's not what it says, and that's not the whole.
It just says a covenant. It doesn't say peace covenant, does it?
It says in Daniel that this is where we need to understand that 9:26 and 27 in context, and in light of the rest of the book of Daniel, the whole context is that Daniel 9 is all about God enforcing a covenant, not making a covenant. God made a covenant through Moses. He said, "If you do this and obey my word, my laws, I'll bless you. And if you don't, I'm going to judge you." And so Daniel's praying, "Lord, you rightfully judged us. You have enforced your covenant." And so the book Daniel 9 is all about the enforcing of a covenant or making strong a covenant.
Right.
It's not about making a peace plan. And yet the majority of the church, probably 99%, are waiting for this peace plan.
Or even something like the Vatican's pushing for Chrislam. I heard yesterday in the United Nations they're talking about the representatives even from the White House are talking about getting some kind of dialogue. Because both Muslims in, say, Western China and Christians in the Middle East are being persecuted and even dying. And they're kind of melding them together. And the Vatican is pushing for this idea of Chrislam, where there's some kind of equality between Christianity and Islam. And bridging across there is literally the Mariology. And people don't realize how dangerous this is, but, they don't get it, do they?
when the temple was built by Solomon, it only took 420 years for them to totally pollute the temple worship and the observances. And what they were doing was, it started in the northern tribes. They started embracing the moon god. The moon god is Islam, okay? And so they started bringing the moon god worship into their places.
The moon god worship is actually the god of Allah, isn't it?
Yes. And they started doing that down in the Judah area, same thing.
Wow.
And finally the Lord says, that's enough of this. I want to wipe you all out with my righteousness, my righteous arm, which is the Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. He said, this is my righteousness, my army. I'm going to wipe you out, and I'm going to tear down my temple. I hate it, because you have merged with the pagan religions. And that's exactly what we're seeing now in many places, not just the Catholic churches. There's other people talking about Christians.
Oh, yeah, lots of so-called Christians are merged with paganism, and even a lot of the people who don't even call themselves the Christians have some form of paganism, or even like the witchcraft or Druidic worship. It's becoming a mishmash, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know what happened? This is not new. This goes back to the Aaronic priesthood when this began to first happen. And
right.
to the sons of Aaron, took fire pans, which were these pans of fire. They were like a dark top. Think of a garbage can cover turned upside down. And they would take the coals, and it's what they were supposed to do, from the bronze altar, and those coals were brought inside the temple to the golden altar, which is the altar of incense, and they were supposed to be used. Those coals were used to light the fire to burn the incense, and yet Aaron's sons put the incense on their fire pans, not where it was supposed to be, and it was called strange fire. And so what happened was they became very cavalier in what they thought their authority was, and they thought they could do whatever they pleased, and then end up killing them. And this is an example of leaders being frivolous and not walking circumspectly by the leading of the Holy Spirit and doing whatever the hell they please.
Right.
And that's what's going on in the churches today. It's called the user-friendly, seeker-sensitive, where anything goes. You know, I went to a church here, and they were trying to explain spiritual warfare using Disneyland images. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, this is strange fire. And this what they're doing in the Catholic Church and other churches that are evangelical and even charismatic, it doesn't matter. They're being very flippant and cavalier in how they approach the throne of God. And this is what's causing so much destruction in the Christian churches, not just the Catholic churches, worldwide. And it's this mixing, this merging of the world with the church, and it's destroying the church because these men of God, so-called men of God, are being very cavalier, just like Aaron's sons did when they offered up strange fire on their fire pits. Same thing. It's the same principle. And so we see this kind of emergence going on, and we see it all the way back in history as it regards to the Temple of Solomon, and then later on it happened again after the Zerubbabel Temple, and it's been happening throughout history. And so we've got to do what the Spirit of God pleases, not what we please, and He'll let us know. He'll let us know when something is amiss if we really are seeking Him. So, and what happens when we do that is we start blinding ourselves. Paul prayed, I pray that the eyes of your heart be open. That's not just a cliche. It's not just fancy talk. There is an eyesight of the heart that helps us apprehend the wisdom of God. And that's what I'm trying to do with my work, is trying to help people see, not with nearsightedness, but with farsightedness. And it's not only the initial experience with the Holy Spirit, it's the ongoing development of God's Holy Ghosting in us that has to be maintained. That's why Jesus said, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me, because in this world we'll get dirty, just the way it is. We have this flesh that's
In fact, what I've learned personally is if you don't walk with God by being in constant prayer, not just prayer once in a while, but everything you do, you can't succeed but do something that's not in God's will. And I use the analogy that's almost childish. You have to do good, you have to do God, and add an extra O. You like that?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's...
You have to almost approach God like a child. If you don't approach God like a child, you really are not going to perceive His way of looking at things, unless you have His way of looking at things, which you present. and most people don't, you can't really understand who and what God is, just like when you talked about Job in the book of Job, my ways are higher than your ways, which is my favorite book in the Bible. Unless you start to perceive God's ways, and then you can't even have a sense of, as I tell people, when you fill the cup of praise of God, he fills your cup of faith and then gives you hope. But you can't get faith or hope unless you fill the cup of praise, which, and first step in praise is to approach God like a child. Say, hey, God, what's your will in this situation? And then when God responds, he'll tell you what to do, whether it's your health problem, like we help people with their health all the time, geopolitical, spiritual, and then how to not be so full of guilt or anger against yourself. For example, you and I can never forgive ourselves for anything, but when we start walking with God, he will forgive us, and we will accept his forgiveness. And once we have that kind of that faith, then the sin or the problem disappears. But it can only occur after we walk with God, right?
You know, the confidence, faith is the confidence of things hoped for. But that confidence has to be ministered to daily because it's a conviction.
Yeah. It's like watering a plant. You have to water the plant every day, right?
Yeah, and when you go before the throne of God and you begin to encounter the four living creatures, which are the four horns of the heavenly altar, one of the things that you'll see is these four creatures. One has the face of a lion, and that lion is the lion, the king of the beast, not by accident, has so much confidence in himself that he'll take on an elephant. I mean, seriously. And we cannot have confidence before the Lord unless we understand that the horns of the altar are drenched with the blood of Jesus. I mean, when he had to go back into the temple, the heavenly sanctuary, had to cleanse the temple because of the wars in the heavens that perverted everything with his own blood. It tells us that in Hebrews. And so when we approach the throne, we approach it through the blood of Jesus. And it's the only way we can have confidence before God. There's no way to will yourself to have confidence. It's simply by letting the atonement affect you in such a way that you have the faith of a lion.
Exactly. And by the way, there's nicer people than me that don't have a relation with God and aren't going to live in eternity, and there's nastier than people than me that are saved. And people don't get that. It's, you know, one of the things that's going to be most shocking to some people is who made it and who didn't make it to be with God for eternity. That's going to be shocking, isn't it?
Well, you know, we don't have to think like that, because if we're walking with the Lord, we have the conviction because we're being touched by the Spirit of the Lord. The people that need to fear that are the people that are without Jesus, and they don't know how to walk. And we know that the kingdom is characterized in the end by five virgins, five were wise, and five were foolish. These are believers and believers, but five of them were wise and five were foolish. The five that were wise took oil in their lamps, which is the Spirit of God, but it's also manifested in the fact that at night they were able to meet the Lord. And that's powerful, because most of what God wants to do is in darkness with us. It's like most of my development comes at night, because I have learned how to receive of the Spirit by going before the throne, and that produces a ghosting of the Holy Spirit in me, which is it's the Holy Spirit becoming ghosted, or the Holy Ghosting in me. So because of the Holy Ghost in me, I can perceive things at night, which is what I'm trying to teach people to do, and it sets up the next day. Most of my prayer time is at night, in the middle of the night, when the Lord can visit with me, because the world outside is shut down. It's not a distraction. And so we have to have this oil that produces the Holy Ghosting in us. The oil of the Spirit produces the Holy Ghosting, and those folks that do that are the ones that can greet the Lord at midnight or in the middle of the night. The ones without the Holy Ghosting, go get your own oil with the dealers, and they went away and it was too late. So it's not just being saved. It's learning how to walk in the Spirit. The sons of God are filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit. And this is not something you do just when you get saved. It's ongoing process and development by the faith.
Amazing stuff. Thank you, Ken. We'll see you next week. Take care. I hope everything is well with you. Take care. God bless.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Red Deer Velvet DR is an amazing new product with a patent to preserve 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones, same as fetal life, where you don't age at all. The state of fetal life allows the 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones produced by the placenta to be supportive of the regeneration of tissues and organs, with maximum apoptosis changing the tissue and organ structure of a fetus. That's why if fetal surgery is performed, there is no scar. Taking 2 to 3 capsules twice a day with oncomycin, Myco D2, provides an amazing support for regeneration of any tissue and organ in the body, and even advanced stem cell therapy support treatment. Do get NutriMedical's Red Deer Velvet DR from Dr. Bill Deagle at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well and stay young with NutriMedical. Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutriMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutriMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871. At NutriMedical.com, we have the most amazing drinks with the best mouthfeel, highest quality bionutrient exposure to your body to heal and regenerate, and the most powerful persistence of nutrients to heal your body dramatically. We have Ageless, which makes you age less, which repairs your DNA, extends your telomeres, etc. We have Life Support that detoxes phase 2 detox pathways, glucuronidation, sulfation, and methylation pathway support. We have Glycemics that blocks the carbohydrate absorption and helps with diabetes or weight loss, and as well helps with people that are trying to build up muscle, using things like our special formulas from Dr. Wolf called Mega Muscles between meals along with Sports Energy Light. We have the amazing NutriComplete, the most complete red and greens drink in the world, with the best mouthfeel and flavor. You can often mix it too with Vitamin Mineral Mix, which is our fruit flavored mix power of vitamins. Stay well with NutriMedical every day.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place.
And welcome back to the NutriMedical Report. We have John W. Spring on early. He'll be on all three segments next hour too. We had an interesting discussion the first two segments with Ken Klein today. I have an opportunity that I'm going to be doing some other side works to see if I can get directly in contact with President Trump or his advisors. What I see is a pattern, and I want to explain this pattern, and I'm sure you'll agree that it exists. When I work taking care of different segments of very classified projects, for example, I'll list a few of them. In 25 years ago, after I got above top secret, the very first place they brought us by guide was on July 10th, 1994, to Schriever Air Force Base, which is 3 higher levels of security than NORAD. And I worked with dozens of companies that had a really high security clearance, storage, tech, Lockheed Martin making the RD-80 rockets, Atmel Corporation making ferromagnetic EMP-proof chips, Schriever Air Force Base with the Virtual World Project and U.S. Space Command, and the Virtual World Project, which is otherwise known in the movie The Matrix, with a Cray array of supercomputer Cray Core 4 computers, and the new Cray 5 chip, which was discovered 11 months before they killed Seymour Cray near Air Force Academy with a T-bone car accident, which was very unusual. The fact is, what I've noticed is this fact. All the agencies are extremely compartmentalist. I have a feeling, to a great extent, Donald Trump is completely ignorant of a lot of the things like weather control systems, missile defense systems, or even layers of missile defense, missile protection, and even our offensive systems, or including our offensive weapons in space. It's my guess that he's probably ignorant of more than 90% of all of the things I just mentioned. And that may be a part of the control system, because we have the special activities of the CIA was given Presidential Directive 51 at the end of George Bush's presidency, and it compartmentalized a lot of the information so that the president didn't necessarily have to be notified or to know what was going on these issues. And I have a feeling that's part of our problem, is we normally have people around Trump that are filtering what gets through to them. So, for example, when you send a certified letter, you don't get a Trump signature probably on the box by the Postal Service. You get an underling. But also at the same time, I don't know if Trump is getting security clearance information or explained to him, because some of this stuff is very highly technical, and I have a technical background, so I can understand it probably more than he could, because I understand nuclear physics, metallurgy, and astrophysics, etc., which I'm sure he doesn't. What I think is going on here is we need to get through to Trump and educate him up to the point where he can make proper decisions, because his big delusion right now is he thinks that the people around him are actually all working in his interest. It's my impression that three-quarters of the Republicans that have quit since he actually became president in 2016 and started taking office in 2017, that in fact most of those are rhino Republicans or phonies. And we hope to replace those before the election. Today, Nancy Pelosi is taking off the gloves and she's starting impeachment over the questions raised regarding Biden's son, Hunter, which to me is perfectly logical to ask if the corrupt thing was going on between us and Ukraine, because it was Ukrainians that actually were part of the whole process that started even the phony dossier situation as well, Ukraine and Russia. And, of course, Biden's son also has no experience in oil and gas in Ukraine and no experience in the type of financial things going on in China. Got billions of dollars. So we're seeing as a form of corruption, and then Biden turns around and says it's fodder because he raised these issues that we can now impeach Trump. It's so obscene, and we have a combination of Trump being ignorant of issues, and then on the other hand, the other side are completely rabid. They're like a rabid animal ready to bite. What do you see? Because I see compartmentalization. When I would take care of one guy, we'd spend more than half the time talking about what he did in his secret classified project. And when they want to know what their buddies are doing, I would tell them, they would turn ash and white, pupils like pinpoints, and they'd actually kind of go into a bit of a panic spell. Because most of the time, they had no idea what the heck was going on in a different colored line to a different lockdown facility underground for 28 days, because that's usually what they do, they go lockdown. So tell me what you think of what's going on here, because I have a feeling we have to diagnose the atmosphere around Trump to understand why not only can we not get through to him, but how we can educate the man to have a better plane of decisions, right?
Yes, Dr. Deagle. It's sad to say, but unfortunately, there's been a carryover from previous administrations going back to the first Bush administration in terms of personnel who are now holding very high positions in intelligence at the White House and with the Trump administration. And unfortunately, because you have these people in these key positions as director of one of the various intelligence agencies, they are going to do everything they possibly can to prevent information that you and I are trying to get to the president from ever reaching him. And this is a sad truth of the entire situation. And I would expect that it will take a miracle, an intercession from God, to enable Trump to receive our information, or for us to be able to speak with him directly on these very serious matters. They have basically sealed off the White House, and more specifically the Oval Office, in such a manner that it's almost virtually impossible humanly
right.
for our information to get to him.
Right. Yeah, it really is quite obscene, actually. And the problem is this actually hampers Trump's ability to do his job. Now, I see a danger in losing the election there. Lately, Biden is actually biting back because he's telling that Warren is going to raise people's taxes, because she's trying to lie and say, I can give you national health care without raising taxes, whereas Biden actually is saying, hey, we're going to take Obamacare and kind of just tweak it to try to make it work better and save people money, but not take away people's private insurance. I think Biden, believe it or not, I think is still ahead of Warren, especially as this next debate happens. It's going to be becoming evident that the screamer Warren, or we call Liawatha, do you like that, Liawatha? That's our name for her. The problem is that Trump is basically naive. He's never been in a political office before. He doesn't have access to all the information, I think partly because of Presidential Directive 51. But I have a feeling that if we could advise Trump, he would have a much wider display of what he can do, for example, with Iran, Venezuela, North Korea. He didn't even respond in the letter we got. We reviewed it last weekend for an hour and 20. Last Tuesday, we did a 30-minute review on the weekend of the letter. We actually put the letter up on the screen on our YouTube channel. But I think it's obvious to me that the man is ignorant. He's not trying to be ignorant, but I think he's purposely shielded by the structure of government now, including Presidential 51, and his scientific background. He's a great builder, but he doesn't understand these other areas. I mean, to be honest with you, you either need to have personal access to not only your personal pals around your government, but you need to have access to the public that can provide you with information, including classified information that I have and you have, that would save his decision tree to make sure he does the right thing, right?
Absolutely. But you and I know that that's not going to happen unless we're actually able to get to him. Now,
well, I'm working on side channels. I'm working on side channels to get through his family members. I have a contact. Josh Bernstein has actually interviewed a number of members of his family. So if I can first interview his son or one of his son's wives, I can probably get eventually through to Trump, because a lot of them have pretty direct access. The main thing of Trump is an insomniac. He has an IQ probably about 157, they say. He's very smart at business, but he doesn't have a lot of, I call, broad scientific, technical, or military background. And as a result, he tries to make a menu choice based on the people who tell him. Now, when people get in his face like lightning bolt, he gets angry and he'd fired him. I'm concerned about the people that are what I call, you know, bolt and light, that could get in there that maybe will make him make bad decisions. For example, his decisions over Iran need to be integrated with decisions with Russia and China and Venezuela and North Korea and Nicaragua. It should all be like one package. It shouldn't just be a single issue, should it? Because these are all proliferations of nuclear weapons that Russia's doing. They're tied to financial disasters that happened in Russia since the fall of the Soviet Union in the late 1980s. And Putin's his main thing is trying to resurrect the Soviet Union, which has come back military with advanced weapons, and they're rushing ahead so fast they're actually blowing up their own people a month ago in Semipalatinsk with this new hypersonic cruise missile. But you don't re-exert the Soviet Union by just building fancier weapons. You exert it by developing trade and financial agreements with the West and the U.S. and with the world. They can link it with gold, so then you can have open high-speed rail, open high-speed transfer, technical sharing but not stealing technology like the Chinese now. The Chinese behavior, if it doesn't change, is going to simply be cut off by Trump. I have a feeling that Trump is going to do something pretty disastrous to China if they don't smarten up. And they could smarten up pretty quickly, but their problem is they have some dark elements in the Chinese government. Just like even in Putin, he's got a lot of ties directly to Iran. I mean, 17 million of the Russian citizens for hundreds of years have actually been Muslim, and 42% of his army is Muslim. People don't know that about Russia. They don't understand that if the mullahs are stupid enough, which I don't really think they are, I think they're wise enough, that's why Rouhani is going to the UN, they don't really want to start engaging Trump because he's unpredictable. They don't realize that he'll hold back and hold back and hold back, and then he's going to let loose, and it's going to be unbelievably devastating. I expect, for example, him to allow or permit or even assist Israel to bomb the Bashar reactor, which is making nukes to nuke Israel. I assume he'll also make Western Iran, we've had our prophetic experts on over the years, so radioactive, most of the people in that area will have to leave that part of the country and go to all over the world. I assume that Iran will become a wastebasket. But again, they're trying to push forward to the Mahdi, the 12th Imam, or to bring forth the Mahdi and Islamification of the world. And at the same time, the Vatican is trying to end, Trump is trying to, literally yesterday in the United Nations, bring Christianity and Islam together. And that is basically allowing, for example, the building of the temple, even if it's not on the Temple Mount. The abomination of desolation, which I think is the next step for Trump, is something that I think is very likely to happen. And the fact is, he's not a Christian yet. He's a pre-Christian. He is a religious person, but he's a high-level Mason who wants to do right. Now, if you try to do what's right in your own eyes, that, by definition, Genesis 3, is the definition of evil. So even if he's well-intentioned, he's going to do something catastrophic, isn't he?
Yes. And this is what we need to be very concerned about. His closest advisors are not giving him advice that's in the best interest of the United States and the American people.
Right.
And unfortunately, regarding legislative matters, he's basically done very well on most of the issues from my perspective.
Well, he's got good lawyers and attorneys around him, but the problem is the legislature, I don't believe we should negotiate. I think his idea of negotiating with maniacs like Putin and Xi and Kim is silly. You need to anticipate. It's almost like if you go to a psych ward with psychopaths. How do you, as a psychiatrist, interact with psychopaths so you don't get harmed while you're doing psychiatric care of them? That's the way you should approach these leaders, shouldn't it?
How do you
act and then react in a way that doesn't either harm them or us and moves them forward toward getting well? Because China, when we got them in WTO, they actually got sicker. They got more aggressive, more totalitarian. They didn't get to become a better nation. They became more totalitarian, didn't they? Russia, since Putin take over after Yeltsin, when he kind of this alcoholic Russian leader, was wrecked. I mean, Russia is still wrecked. The most expensive city on the earth to live is Moscow. So Putin is in kind of a desperate state right now, and he's got some bad kind of things pulling toward a response to America if we attack Iran. And now, any attack by Russia against America, even if it's an EMP attack, will result in Russia's annihilation. They won't survive an attack by America. We have weapons literally centuries ahead of anybody else. And what I'm very concerned about is that people don't get it. They don't get the idea that maybe we're on the teeter-totter of things, and well-intentioned people, even Christians, are pushing it toward the abomination of desolation, which is the next step beyond Trump to designate Jerusalem as the capital, is to assist the Jews and Christians that are going to love it to build a temple and make some kind of agreement with Islam that's very dangerous. That's where I see this going. So, to avoid war, make a covenant, build the abomination of desolation. That's where I think things may happen here, unfortunately. When we get into hour number three, we'll get into this topic because it ties directly to the fact he doesn't know missile defense and he's not responding to La Orchila Island or Punta Huerte, Nicaragua, which we need to get a direct, secure line to talk to Trump about these issues so he gets upgraded in his intellectual knowledge. Back in a moment with John W. Spring. Stay tuned. This is important.